Everyone. My name is Stuart Mazzell, and I'm a pastor here. It's good to see all of you here today. Thank you for praying for us as we were on a boat for the last week, and with fears of coronavirus everywhere, I know why nobody's talking to me today and why you're keeping your distance. That's fine. I hear you. Today we're going to start a new series. It's called Money, 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 Money. I started to do the high voice thing, but I didn't think I could do that today. It's too early. But we're starting this series on money to talk not about just giving and that sort of thing, because that's what I think of when I hear, oh, we're starting a series on money. They're going to talk about giving to the church. That's what I think of. And then I have this kind of negative reaction to it. Yeah, that will be a part of what we're going to be doing. But we're going to be talking about what the scriptures say about money in a more general sense also. And how God has given us money for purposes, for reasons, to use for His glory, and also for our good. And so we'll be talking about a lot of things over the next several weeks. But before we get into specifics about how God says we should use our money or how we should give or anything like that, we're going to be looking at this passage in Luke 12, Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 34. So if you have a Bible, please turn there. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you. You can find this passage on page 871. Again, this is Jesus speaking. And He's talking to His disciples. He's talking to His people. And He says this: "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's pray. Lord, we sang today that You are our life, our portion, our reward. You are our God. And we want those words to not just be words. We want it to be true. We want that sentiment, those words, to truly be what is in the midst of our heart. And yet we find ourselves so easily distracted by so many things. Forgive us. Help us to find treasure in the right things today. And grow us as we, not just today, but as we go through this series and as we go through our lives, that we would grow to be more and more like Jesus. That we would take His yoke upon Him, upon us. That we would learn from Him. That we would grow in Him. And not just in the way we live our life in general, but specifically in the way we think about money, the way we use money, the way we use our possessions. Will You help us to learn and grow and be more of what You call us to be in the gospel? Lord, we admit that we have lots to learn. So would You help us by Your Holy Spirit? Give us the power to hear and to receive Your word truly and fully. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So you've probably heard of a guy named Kanye West. If not, I'll give you a little brief reminder of who he is. He's an American music artist, a rapper, a songwriter, record producer, fashion designer, married to Kim Kardashian, became a news item when, as a music artist, he supported Donald Trump in his presidency. A little bit controversial for him to do. And then most recently, he made a very public profession of faith in Jesus, which also has proved to be somewhat controversial among Christians. But back in 2015, somebody wanted to cash in on Kanye's fame. So they went to one of his concerts, and they took a little plastic bag, maybe like a Ziploc bag or something like that. They opened it up, and while the concert was going on, I guess they just moved it around like this until it kind of blew up some, and then they closed it. And then they went home and put it on eBay. A bag of air from Kanye West's concert for sale. Now, yeah, I know. You're thinking, that's ridiculous. Who in the world would want a bag of air from anybody's concert, let alone whether you like Kanye West or not? Why would this make any difference? But there were 90 bidders before eBay took it down. And the bids went from $5 to $60,000. $60,000 for a bag of air. Now we think of that and we go, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. And yeah, air is all around us. So why would anybody pay for air if you can just breathe it? But it gets us into this idea that I think Jesus wants us to see in this passage. In fact, throughout the Gospels, he is preaching this kind of message. Whoever bid $60,000 for that bag, they put a value on that bag that the rest of us would say, that's ridiculous. We wouldn't value that bag. But they valued it for some reason. They treasured it. And so what Jesus wants us to do is not just say, oh, well, that's stupid, and then move on with our life. No, what Jesus wants us to do is to treasure the right things. Jesus wants us to treasure the right things. And that's what he's talking about in this passage. And there's several things in this passage that I know have caught your attention, and we will get to them, okay? But let's just look at the big picture first. So he starts off by saying, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then he says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. I know that caught your attention to it. This is the sentence I want you to see that's really the heart, or the two sentences that are really the heart of what he's saying. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What Jesus is saying here is that whatever we treasure, whatever we value, is the thing that's right in the center of our heart, of our lives, of our soul. That very center of it is what we find important. And what we find important will rule our lives in one way or another. And that's why it just wants us to treasure the right things. Right? Money bags that do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Now, in this passage as a whole, earlier in chapter 12, if you go back to verse 15, for example, Jesus is talking about the same thing in a different way. And he says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. Some translations say greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So he's saying, be on guard about greed. Be on guard about covetousness. Be on guard about those things, because your life doesn't consist in just your possessions. And then he tells a parable about this rich man. And this rich man says, you know, I don't have anywhere to store my crops, so I'm going to build a big barn. I'm going to build bigger barns. Bigger is better. So that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to store all my grain there, and then I'm going to say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods. You've got stuff laid up for years, and you can just relax. You can eat. You can drink. You can be merry. And that's what we're going to do. But then God says, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? In other words, this guy's going to die that night, and where is all that stuff going to go? It's not going to be his anymore. And that's why he says in verse 21, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I don't know what you think, but I think God has a sense of humor. I don't think it was an accident that the very week that Donna and I had planned, you know, years ago on our 20th anniversary, that we would go on a cruise together, where we would eat and drink and be merry, that the very next Sunday I'm preaching on this passage. I had never been on a cruise before, and I didn't know what to expect, but cruise life is all about this. Relax, eat, drink, be merry, and do it up. Do it up big. Like I told the music team this morning, there were people who their breakfast was a whiskey, and they continued to drink all throughout the day. And I'll admit, there's a part of me that was like, this is amazing that you get to be on this boat and you can eat whatever you want, whenever you want it. You can drink whatever you want, except for Coke Zero and Diet Coke. They didn't have that on the boat. And you can make merry into the wee hours of the night. In fact, lots of times we were woken up at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning with people partying. And I find myself saying, yeah, there's a part of me that says, wouldn't that be the life? Like a guy we met while we were eating who was going on 26 cruises. We told him we've only been on one. This is our first one. It may be our last, but it's our first for sure. And he said, I've been on 26 cruises. And this is almost an exact quote. He said, look, when you're on the cruise, if they bring you food and you don't like it, send it back and get something else. It's not wasteful. Because that's what they're here for. If you like shrimp cocktail and they bring you one and you eat it and you want another one, tell them you want another one. And if you want 4 shrimp cocktails, tell them to bring you 4. And you can get whatever you want whenever you want it. They have to do it for you. And I was thinking, yeah, that's kind of what this passage is warning us against. There's nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with drinking. There's nothing wrong with being merry. There's nothing wrong with relaxing. In fact, there's nothing even wrong with going on a cruise. The problem is when we want cruise life to be life. When we want cruise life to be life. And we want all of the stuff that everything, all of the good things, and we just want that all of the time, and we can never be satisfied with what God has given us. We always want more. And if you think, well, Stuart's just saying that because he went on a cruise and he doesn't want to feel guilty. Ecclesiastes 3:13 says this: everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil, for this is God's gift to man. Do you hear that? That's God's word. This is God's gift to man, to eat, to drink, to be merry. But don't make that your center. Don't make that your all in all. Don't make that your treasure. Enjoy it when you have it, but don't make it everything. Because it's here today and gone tomorrow. Does that make sense? In fact, right before the passage we are talking about today in Luke 12, where Jesus, in verse 29, Jesus says, "Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried." Why? Because it's a gift of God. "For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you." That's what Jesus is getting at. Your treasure should be something that's worth seeking. And the kingdom is that. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Now, the problem with us when we say, when Jesus wants us to focus on the right things, He wants us to treasure the right things, it's far too easy for us to lose perspective on what is truly valuable. You understand that, right? It's far too easy for us to lose perspective on what is truly valuable. I do this all the time. I lose perspective on what is truly valuable. Like that guy who, or lady, I'm not sure who it was, who bid $60,000 on air from Kanye West's concert. That's valuing something that it's not truly valuable, but they put value on it. And we do this all the time in various ways. Maybe not to that extent, but we all do it. Does anybody remember Beanie Babies? Does anybody have any Beanie Babies? Yeah. Beanie Babies were a thing in the 90s, right? And if you don't know what a Beanie Baby is, it was just like one of these little bears. It's about maybe that high. And they all had different names, and they were stuffed with something other than what normal stuffing is. And that's why they called them Beanie Babies, because they felt like beans inside. But they got really popular during the 90s. So popular that people would buy Beanie Babies for 10 times or more their actual cost, just to have a specific one. In the 90s, one of my good friends, Tony, he saw what was happening with Beanie Babies, and he got in on it. And he started a whole business selling Beanie Babies and other collectibles. And Tony told me this story one time about a guy who walked into his store, and he had this wad of cash in his hand. And he's like counting the money, and he's looking up at the shelf at the thing he wanted. And he'd look down at his money, and he'd look at his shelf, and he'd look at the money. And Tony came over and said, "Can I help you?" And he said, "Well, I'm trying to decide something." He said, "Okay, well, can I help you with your decision?" He said, "Well, I'm trying to decide whether to buy that collectible, whatever it was, or pay my rent. And I can't decide which is more important." And Tony said, whoa, dude, I want you to have this, but I will put it aside. You go pay your rent, and then come back, and if you have the money, you can have this. But don't spend your money on this when you need to pay your rent." That's losing perspective about what's really valuable. A collectible item versus losing where you live. Right? And again, we may look at that and go, "That's crazy. I would never do that." And maybe you wouldn't ever do that. But we all have those moments where we value something more than is good for us. What is that thing for you? I don't know. There are maybe 150 or so of you here today. I don't know what that thing would be for you. But it's a good question. Ask yourself, what is it that I value more than is good for me? Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And you need to value the right things. Don't lose perspective on what is truly valuable. And then he tells us what is truly valuable. What we have in Christ and his kingdom is greater than money or the things money can buy. You believe that, don't you? What we have in Christ and his kingdom is greater than money or the things money can buy. Listen to Jesus' words in verse 32 where he spells this out for us. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And maybe you're thinking, well, okay. Well, what's the kingdom? I mean, if I'm supposed to value something, I need to know what it is. What's the kingdom? That's a complicated question and a complicated answer. I'm going to try to break it down into some easy things for us to remember. So just in general, what is a kingdom? Well, a kingdom has to have a ruler, right? You don't have a kingdom without someone to rule. And that's King Jesus, right? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And you don't really have a kingdom unless you have a realm, a place. What is it that Jesus rules over? What realm does he rule over? He rules over everything. There's nothing in all creation that Jesus doesn't look at and say, that's mine. In some sense, in some way, Jesus rules over everything. And you don't really have a kingdom unless you have people in that kingdom. I mean, I guess you could say, okay, I've got a lot of land, and I rule over the land. But people are what make up a kingdom also. So when Jesus says, your Father gives you the kingdom, part of what he's saying is, look, he's given you a king. A king who loves you enough to die for your sins and rise from the dead and to also share with you his rule and his reign, to share with you all that he inherits. The entire universe, in some sense, is shared with all of us. And then he also gives us each other, the church, people, that we belong to each other because we belong to Jesus first. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, and listen to these words, all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So what God the Father is promising us is something so much bigger, something so much greater, something so much more wonderful than any other thing we can have in this life, because it not only includes that thing, but it includes all things. And I want you to see something that I have failed to see until not this past week, because I wasn't thinking about this passage this past week, but the week before when I was preparing for this sermon, It is your Father's good pleasure to give this to you. This isn't like some, you know, God up in heaven going, oh, here they come again, asking me for something. Good grief. I wish they'd leave me alone. No, it's your Father's good pleasure. He's not giving what he gives begrudgingly. He gives freely. He gives lovingly. He gives because he loves us. Do you believe that? I'm going to be a little vulnerable here for a minute. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking with the staff. And I won't go into all the details, but I expressed something that I was dealing with at that moment. And it got us into this whole conversation. And I broke down and cried. And it was a strange, strange moment for me, just being that real. And Michelle said to me, so say what's really going on. Say what's really happening. And if somebody says, Stuart, you've done a good job, or Stuart this, or Stuart that, you know, he's giving me a compliment. And I said, I don't feel worthy of that. In fact, not only do I not think that, I am not worthy. And then she pointed at me and said, that's it. And I think a lot of us feel that way. That when we see God's love for us, we go, I'm not worthy of that. When we think of what God wants to give us, what he has the good pleasure to give us in the kingdom, we go, that can't be true. There's no way that can be true. I'm not worthy of that. I'll never be worthy of that. And yet it is the Father's good pleasure to give us what he has given us in Christ and the kingdom. Whether you're worthy of it or not. And what does that do? When you recognize, you know, I may not be worthy of this, but God has given it freely, lovingly, with good pleasure. He is my Father who knows how to give good gifts to his children, and he gives it freely to me. And he doesn't hold back the kingdom. He says, it's yours. Does that make you want to run to him? Does that make you want to go, Daddy, thank you for giving me such a beautiful gift? I mean, you've given me forgiveness of sins in Christ. You give me joy, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Spirit. You give me the resurrection power to grow from a sinner into a saint. And I had to ask myself, why is it that I don't live that way? Why is it I don't think that way? Why is it that I'm always feeling under condemnation? And maybe it's because I'm distracted by the things I value in this life. What if that's really what's going on? What if I'm so distracted by the things that I value in this life more than I value the kingdom that I just can't see? Can't see how good of a gift God has given us. God has given me. And I'm not saying that that's the case for you, but I will say that it has caused me to think, Stuart, what is it that distracts you from the kingdom? What is it that distracts me from the wonder and the glory and the beauty and the greatness and the riches of God's grace in Christ to me? And if you put the kingdom and Jesus over against whatever it is I value, which is greater? And every time I've been able to do that, guess what comes out on top? It's the kingdom. It's Jesus. Everything else might fail. Everything else might be destroyed. Everything else might go down the toilet. Okay? Everything, but not Jesus, not the kingdom. And that's why Jesus says, value the right things, treasure the right things, not the things that moths can destroy, not the things that can be stolen from you, that you can be robbed of, not the things that can fail you, but the things that can never be taken away from you. The things that will never be destroyed. The things that God has given us in Christ. And He freely, with good pleasure, gives those things to us. Right? And when we see it that way, when our eyes aren't blinded by the things we value that are not really good for us, or the things that are maybe good for us but not the way we value them, when we're not blinded by that, when we recognize how much God has given us by His grace, that can help ease our fears about this life. Recognizing how much God has given us by His grace can help us ease our fears about this life. Verse 32, you see how Jesus starts off? Fear not, little flock. Why? It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God loves to give you the kingdom. And that comes on the heels of what He says earlier in this chapter in verse 29. He says, don't seek for what you are to eat and what you are to drink. Don't be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. And if you're feeling fearful in that, if you're feeling anxious in that, He follows that up with, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Right? We seek first the kingdom, and we think, oh man, that's going to be hard. I seek first the kingdom and maybe God's not going to give it to me. Maybe God doesn't really want to give it to me. And he says, fear not, don't be afraid. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So let me bring this down to something that's happening today. Anybody afraid of the coronavirus? Well, let's be honest. Okay? Okay, I think it's fair and good to have some fear about something you don't know about. And there's wisdom in doing things well to try to protect yourself and all of that. But I am reminded that in the early church, there were outbreaks of various kinds of plagues. And instead of some of the Christians running for their lives away from the cities where there was plague, They ran to those places to help the sick. And I think, what could make them do that? Because that seems crazy. That seems like they've lost their mind. What made them do that was they trusted something greater than even their lives. They treasured something that was even greater than their life. And that's why they were willing to give their lives to try to care for others. Now, I'm not saying that you should go get on the cruise ship that's in California and try to care for those people. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, let's look at what is it that God calls us to treasure, and if we really treasure that, how will it affect the way we live in the here and now? How will it change us? How will it shape us? What will we do different? And I think part of that is it will ease some of those fears. And one more thing, and I know this is what you've been waiting for. When we see what God has given us in the kingdom, it also gives us the impetus to give generously to the needs around us. When we recognize what God has given us in the kingdom, in Christ and the kingdom, it gives us the impetus to give generously to the needs around us. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What do you have in the kingdom? Jesus and everything that is found in Him. And then what's the next thing He says? Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Now, every one of you is probably thinking either one of two things. Either Stuart's going to find some way to make us feel like we don't have to give up our possessions, and that'll make me feel better. Or, oh no, here it comes. Right? You're on one of those sides, I'm sure. I think it's good for us to live with a little tension. Remember what I said Jesus said in chapter 12, earlier 12, where He said, be on guard against covetousness. That infects us so much more than we recognize. It really does. And it's hard. It's like the water we swim in as fish. You know, fish swim in the water. They don't recognize they're in water. They're just there. We are swimming in an atmosphere of greed and covetousness. And it's hard for us. It's hard for us to even break away from that. And that's why Jesus is saying, value the right things. And if you value the right things, you're going to be willing to distance yourself from even your possessions. Why? Because your possessions don't possess you. Now, you can have possessions and they not possess you. But unfortunately, I feel like a lot of us, me included, are possessed by our possessions. We wouldn't give up those things for anything. I don't know what those things are for you. I know what they are for me. And again, Jesus says, do the math. What is it that you have in the kingdom that is greater than the thing that you don't want to let go of? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So what is my treasure? What am I treasuring more than the kingdom? And so I think it's good for us to live with the tension. When we hear the words, sell your possessions and give to the needy, we have to ask, okay, what does that look like for me? Not what does it look like for the people over here or the people over there. What does that look like for me? But I also want to point out that if you look at Scripture as a whole, nowhere do you see a demand of all Christians to sell everything that they have to give to others. You don't see that in Scripture as a whole, all right? I mean, think about it. If we followed this to the letter, literally, I would sell everything I have and I would give it to a poor person and then I'd be poor. And then someone else would have to sell everything that they have to give to me. And then that would just continue back and forth. Right? So that's not what Jesus is talking about. I think what Jesus is getting at is what we see in Acts 2. All right? At the end of Acts 2, all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. The church took care of each other. And if that meant you were lacking, and I have, I'm willing to give up some of what I have to give to you who do not have. That's what Jesus is getting at. The church takes care of one another. Why? Because we belong to each other. We belong to each other. Now, all of this saying, I know, is challenging, it's hard, it's difficult, but I want you to hear this one thing. Many of you know the guy named Jim Elliot. He was a missionary. Fairly famous for going to a group of people to try to proclaim the good news of Jesus to them, and they killed him. And then his wife went back to that same group of people in order to proclaim the good news of Jesus to them. And you think, that sounds like buying air on eBay from a concert. How can you value a group of people who would kill your husband? How could you do that? And yet she did. And they became believers, many of them. And these haunting but very similar words to what we hear Jesus saying, Jim Elliot, who before he died said these words, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Do you hear that? It's not foolish to give generously to others because you know you cannot lose what you have in Christ, what you have in the kingdom. And I hope and pray that each one of us, as we go through this series on money, that each and every one of us we'll at least start by asking the hard questions right there. What is the treasure of my heart? Do I value the kingdom more than that? And if not, God, please help me. Help me to treasure your kingdom, Jesus, more than anything. So here's what I encourage us all to do. By faith, let's find our treasure in Christ and His kingdom. Let's find our treasure in Christ and His kingdom and learn to invest in what really matters. Let me pray for us that we'll be able to do that. Lord Jesus, you have hard words at times. They're difficult. They're challenging. And yet, those same challenging and hard words are wrapped in this beauty and wonder of the gospel, of the fact that you would give your life for us and rise from the dead for us and share your kingdom with us. We don't even know what that looks like, and yet we know it must be wonderful. So will you help us that the scales would fall from our eyes, that we would not lose perspective on what is good and valuable and what is true treasure, that we would let the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and your grace as we fix our eyes on you, Jesus. Help us to do that. We pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen.